keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change in the raw.
And yeah, welcome back, glad to be back with you. Our last show was on Wednesday, but now it's Monday, everyone's most hated day. And we don't have great Mondays either around here, but we're glad to be on the show, and we thank you for spending your Monday, horrible or not, with us. There's a bunch of news that came out today, and a lot of crazy stories, as always. I am joined in studio with one of our awesome journalists, Cassius. How are you doing tonight, man?
Doing great, man.
Awesome, man. Sorry, I think we actually had a little glitch out there. Cassius, go ahead and repeat that, man. I'm sorry, we had a little tech problem there.
So I think I feel some energy in the air, similar to last August, possibly more organized. I want to focus on solutions and real, next steps to take in this scenario, next steps.
Yeah, it's a great point, man, because everybody knows there's a problem, but not many people know about the solutions. So that's always a good thing to talk about. And we'll try to get into that here once we get through this news about what's going on in Ferguson. First, I want to introduce my co-host, DB Schwartz. How are you doing tonight, man? All right, he'll join us here. God, I hope this whole show doesn't have these technical difficulties. We've been having major problems with our internet. I don't know what it is, but I'm working on getting it fixed. But in case there is any drop time tonight on the show, just keep in mind that we've been having some continuous problems over the last week with our internet situation here at the Anti-Media headquarters. I don't know exactly what it is or whatever, but it's very inconvenient to say the least. We're also joined tonight on the lines by Manny Aguilar from Los Angeles. How are you doing tonight, Manny?
Hey, well, just down here watching some of these players get all fired up because Bernie Sanders is in town and stuff like that, But the good thing is I just decided to be a bystander and just watch all the show, just kind of from far away and let them tell me what happened or what I mean having to be there, So other than that, everything's okay. Pedro's running again, by the way. They say vote for Pedro, okay?
Yeah, man, I'd vote for Pedro over any of these clowns that we got in the show right now. We're going to get into that a little bit later. First, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what's going on in Ferguson because that's a hot spot right now. We were watching the live streams earlier today, and everything seems relatively peaceful right now, and people are just out protesting and doing their thing. There is a major cop presence, a lot of riot gear and that kind of thing. No riots yet so far. A guy was gunned down yesterday on the anniversary of the Mike Brown shooting, which happened a year ago yesterday. And, they say that the cops say that he was shooting at the police, and the cops apparently had to shoot back. At least that's what the police are saying. Now, there were several accounts from the ground from activists saying that the cops were shooting at the protesters, and it's starting to erode. Slowly but surely, the presence, the pressure, the activism, the police brutality accountability movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, all of this stuff is taking a toll on these cops, and their thin blue line that they've been living behind forever, basically. And now there's more and more cops that are thinking twice before they're pulling the trigger. Yeah, there's still going to be cops shooting people, gunning people down. But from what I can tell, the numbers are going to start decreasing. But, you know, there's obviously going to be more and more, you know, work that we're going to have to put into this to try to, you know, get it to where it should be, which is where nobody's getting gunned down by the cops.
That's what we have to do. We have to put work in to build the structures of society, of community, where, you know, we can actually solve these problems strategically together as people. That's the thing that I am most interested in seeing about this. At this point in time, a year ago from the movement that really kicked off our last year, we know what's going on. It's wrong. You know, with the police and everything, we know what's going on. So now it's time to really not get stuck on observing what's going on. You know, that's necessary too. But we have to, you know, it's solution time. I think it's solution time. And we've learned a lot of lessons.
Those people are playing right into the hands of the establishment, because if we allow people that actually give a shit to turn on each other, you know, and yeah, maybe you aren't part of Black Lives Matter, but you still care about police accountability. Well, then focus yourself on police accountability instead of trying to like degrade or talk shit about the Black Lives Matter movement just because you may disagree with, maybe because you may disagree with their tactics or whatever. That's fine, but focus your energy where it matters. If you focus your energy on talking shit about another activist group, you're playing right into the hands of the establishment. And I'm sorry to say it, but you're just a useful idiot for these guys that are running the show.
We have to make unity between all the various activists.
Exactly.
Denominators.
Exactly, man. I want to introduce Jake Anderson. I believe you're joining us from a remote location. How are you doing tonight, Jake?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Hey, can you hear me?
Everybody undercover today or something?
What's that?
Is everybody undercover today? Well, a guy with a buffer, voice buffer, probably he wants to keep his anonymous or something, and then Jake somewhere else. That's why I was wondering, is everybody undercover today?
No, we got
I don't know what the hell. Honestly, I don't know what the hell. Like, who are the real villains here? I think, Nick, I mean, I think that's what you're trying to touch upon here is what are the real structures of power that are controlling things right now, and how can we join together to stop them, right?
Exactly,
man, exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, so many people and you know, being able to witness the whole anarchist movement from the inside and seeing how it's been tearing itself apart, seeing how the Occupy movement kind of tore itself apart, and, you know, various other movements. You look back in the 60s, you know, the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the Black Panthers, you know, this stuff, historically.
Yeah. Look, this is what I think about. And as far as the Black Lives Matter movement, which I'm a huge supporter of, and as far as them interrupting Bernie Sanders, from my perspective, what they did was they occupied a Sanders rally, and I don't have a problem with that. I really don't, and I don't really see any reason why anyone should. I posted a link earlier that one of the women used to be a Palin supporter.
I just want to put my official stance out there that I don't support any of these two-party political candidates.
Nick, to be clear, I'm not saying I'm not a huge Bernie Sanders supporter myself, but I'm saying they strategically chose that campaign to do this to for a reason.
Yeah, exactly, man. And, you know, people get pissed off at us when we talk about Rand Paul. People get pissed off at us when we talk about Bernie Sanders, and that's fine. People are going to have that cognitive dissonance, whatever you want to call it. People are going to support these pseudo anti-establishment candidates, and that's fine. I'm not going to hate on people that bad. I got plenty of people in my personal friends, you know, my personal friends, the people I know personally online as well. Plenty of my friends support Rand Paul and they support Bernie Sanders. That's fine. I don't care. I mean, they want to play the Republican-Democrat game, fine. Now, here's the thing, and here's why I think it's so important to criticize these candidates. I think Bernie Sanders, he kind of handled it okay at first, and then he just left. And so that was bad. But his reaction afterwards has been pretty good, where he's now starting to make a lot of concessions to the Black Lives Matter movement. And you know, by other people.
I think Bernie Sanders has a lot. And look, again, God, I am not like, dude, you know how jaded I am. I am not supporting Bernie Sanders. Like, if when it comes to a vote, I may vote for him, but I'm beyond the left-right paradigm at this point. I'm telling you, of the candidates that are listening to the people, like, what other candidate would back away from the podium and let the people and let the black voices come forward and say what they want to say, you know, and then immediately incorporate it into his message? Yes, is it PR, a bit of PR control? Yes.
Yeah,
but it's also, he's listening directly. This is real time. This is real time democratization of a campaign.
But Jake, what about Vermin Supreme?
What's up, Dini?
Vermin Supreme
about,
or Pedro,
what,
man? These
about,
are the guys I'm going, you know, contemplating voting for. But here's the thing that I wanted to get out there is that the most hope that we can have from these two candidates, and I don't think they even have a chance in hell of winning. But even if they did, it doesn't matter, because even when they get in office, you know, they become part of the machine or whatever. That's
right,
fine.
Of course.
But the main
and that's
thing
why
that we spread an anti-government message.
Absolutely,
both
dude.
Both of these messages are partially correct for my
opinion. Are right. You're spot on, man. And I'm very happy to hear you say that. Let's use these are teachable lessons. Let's use the election. Let's not back away. Like, there's no reason to back away from the election and say, like, screw any candidate ever. Like screw politics. Let's use them to get across certain messages.
Okay, well, let me throw this in now. When in the history of the United States has anybody ever had millions of people write in nobody as a write-in candidate? It has never happened. And if it happens, it's going to catch somebody's attention. I know that for a fact, you know, stuff like that, you know. So we got to kind of
nobody into it. Writing nobody on a ballot isn't going to do anything ever.
Well,
like
there is
no one looks at that.
I think Manny has a good point there, because there was one really good example. It comes from apartheid South Africa, where I think pretty much everyone decided, okay, you know what, we're boycotting the election. Only about 7% of the people voted. And that changed pretty much everything. The regime in South Africa lost basically all international support because they were no longer considered a legitimate regime.
Sanders, he says, this is not about me, which of course is what Obama said, but I want you to tell me what my positions are going to be. And I think Bernie Sanders is actually pretty fucking close to that. And I'm sorry to drop the F-bomb, but I actually think that this election is going to be crazy, man. I think we're going to see the craziest election in the history of mankind.
We'll see, man. I mean, we posted an article on the Anti-Media Facebook page. It didn't come from our website. It came from one of our partners at TrueActivist.com about Bernie Sanders and how he called out a bunch of these CEOs for taking trillions in bailouts. And, you know, this is the kind of information, like I was just mentioning, this is the kind of talking point that we can use to spread an anti-corporate message, and that's pretty useful.
Yeah.
But at the end, you know, I mean, in the end, it's kind of, we don't want to put any kind of resources towards trying to push any candidates, just because.
No, I know you don't want to. You talk about Rand Paul though. So like, and look, dude, I would support. I mean, I would do literally do anything for a Bernie Sanders versus Rand Paul, election. Unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen, but we have to have him in there. Unless you just want to fast track it, it ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Well, we're doing it in Mexico, and people thought it would never happen over there.
when you have complete absolute chaos in a place, it's easy to declare it anarchy, but that's not necessarily the case in Mexico.
I think that we can also get really, really distracted from our precious time and mental resources by focusing too much on the election.
Is that Cassius? I can't hear him.
There are lessons to be learned here, but we can very easily divert too much of our attention to the election, because there are so many things going on behind the scenes with the various agencies of government, DHS, all these things going on in the background that are perfectly distracted from the election. So we keep our...
What is going on with your guys' mic? It sounds like I'm on shrooms.
But yeah, definitely.
Now, seriously, Cassius, I can't understand a word you're saying, man.
You know what I want? Can you guys hear me okay, though?
I can hear you perfectly, and I can hear DB perfectly, and I can hear Manny fairly well, but I can't hear Cassius.
Maybe Cassius is on shrooms right now. No.
Can you hear me now?
Whoa,
I'm jealous. You got any more, dude?
And precious mental resources taken away from what we really need to focus on, solutions and strategy to actually change things from this election. So there are lessons to be learned, but we should be really careful about how much time we spend on this and carefully make time for things that are more useful. Solutions. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a great point, man.
The other thing I'm glad you make that point
because, you know, we shouldn't be wasting too much time on the politics and basically saying one of the things that I said today, and it's really true, you know, because it came down to last week. I sent it to either Jake or Nick or both, you know, where people were saying, okay, nobody cares about Black Lives Matter because of the Lion, Cecil, and stuff like that. Well, I'm sorry, you know what? It has taken activists like me 10 years to bring attention to the wildlife that is being completely endangered animals
There's so many big issues, and Manny, I know you work like tirelessly to bring attention to migrants, workers' rights, and there's so many issues that are being completely flooded over with just, you know, our normal election cycle bullshit.
One of our niches, like wildlife or Black Lives Matter, if we all unified and strategically went after the issues that we are individually passionate
about,
efficiently do this. We have to allot time for every cause, not get mixed up. We have to be prioritized, organized, strategic, unified.
It's not a dream. It's not a dream. It's a necessity, dude. We have to do that.
We got a new guy on the animal rights train as of last night by the name of Steve-O from Jackass. I don't know if anyone else seen that, but we posted about him on the Anti-Media.
Yeah, good for him, man. That was awesome.
Yeah,
he's out there fighting for the rights for these whales that are being held captive in SeaWorld, and I support him, man. I went to SeaWorld several years ago. I got a free ticket, and man, dude, it was really depressing going there and seeing those animals kind of just stuck in these cages, and they're really smart.
Yeah, it's a hideous reality, and animal rights. I'm working on an article about, kind of how we have to reform the way we look at animal agriculture a little bit, and that's part of the problem too. You know, there's so many problems right now, and that's reacting to the slow collapse. You know. And I think that's why there's stress building, there's tension building. It's because we're all seeing, like demarcation lines are being drawn, battle lines are being drawn across the board, and people are starting to see like how this great collapse is going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be horrifying, actually.
And it's going to only
and
take
we have to try and
hours.
Some come up with some modicum of organization before it happens.
What we have to do is not only unite the activist groups, but think about the time that people have. People waste their time making money to live. So the only way to make this actually happen is to align with what you do. So we have to do this for a living and put full effort towards the societal change. And we have to have independent infrastructure in business so we can
totally
buy
agree
with
you,
our
dude.
Own currency
totally agree.
From only each other to support only each other and do everything ourselves, all of our own independent infrastructure, working to make societal change while making enough money to live together.
So one great point I wanted to bring up here in this debate before I shift over to the Republican side of things here. is a point that John Vibes saying is that the politicians are at least 10 years behind the public opinion, and we kind of see that with the weed legalization thing, and now it's finally becoming acceptable politically for even conservatives to talk about and that kind of thing, but it's only because of the collective conscious of us turning against the drug war in mass that is changing the minds of these politicians. The politicians don't give a shit. The politicians just vote however the dollar tells them, but sometimes they can't they can't ignore the voice of the people, because the voice becomes so overwhelmingly resounding that they can no longer say, oh, no, we're not going to do that anymore. The perfect example is cannabis legalization and gay marriage legalization. So many people support that now. I think gay marriage is at like over 60%. Weed is probably above that now. So they can't just ignore that stuff anymore. And even the Republicans have to make concessions on that kind of thing. So it's, to me, it's not really as much about the politicians that we elect that are going to represent us. But what we can do is use these political campaigns to keep spreading these messages. And really, that's, to me, the ultimate hope. I don't have any faith in any politician. I don't, you know, voting for a guy and having him giving him free reign for 4 years is just a really bad idea to me. No matter, I don't give a shit.
I agree with you, man.
The Green Party or any party, you know, it's still a pretty bad idea. Reality, people, the majority of the population has lived without government up until the last like 500 years. It's been based on not on state government, not on states. It's been based on tribal type of governments, local orders, and things like that. And There's a pretty big distinction there where there's always been these empires, but even under empires, the empire can't subjugate every citizen of the empire. You know, there's always ungoverned areas, and yet those people tend to get along fine, and they tend to get along peacefully, and they still
the world was perfect 500 years ago.
Well, Nick, what a lot of people like to think is that it wasn't, you know, the same, and it was actually probably worse. It was unmitigated violence at that point.
Right.
Yes.
It was actually worse.
I think we never talked about
it. So I don't want to. I personally don't want to. If we want to have a conversation about John Vibe's article from earlier today, we can. I mean, I think it's a pretty heavily flawed article myself. But I think I don't know. Was there something else we could talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I want to say something about what DB said. I like that way that DB threw the wrench in to scare Jake a little bit, because one of the things that we don't talk about a lot is, and I'm an activist, so I see it. I come from a third world country, you know, because of corruption. So I see, like, for instance,
oh, I think we lost Manny. Everyone else still there?
Oh yeah, I thought you. I actually thought you cut me off for disagreeing with you, Nick. I got scared for a second.
No, never. Manny's call just dropped. I don't know why. Hopefully, he calls back in.
No, John's article is interesting. I just, I would have to really like do some research to know like what I think about it. But you know, I think it's weird to like romanticize like what government, hierarchical organizations were like 500 years ago and romanticize them over what we have now. And that's such a drastically different world then, you know?
Yeah, I think the main point that he was making was that there was a lack of any kind of organization or anything like that at the local level, but it was that there weren't these massive state monopolized state empires that we have now, you know, like with the U.S.
India is not an empire.
Who's that? Which country?
But India is a democracy.
Yeah.
India should have been an empire if Britain hadn't gotten in the way of it.
India's only been a quote-unquote democracy for like less than 100 years. You know what I mean? They got a ways to go before they get really bad. But
India's still an exception to the rule we were talking about.
India's still got its own massive internal issues that they're dealing with. They can't even go.
Of course they do.
Because they can't get past their internal hurdles. Just like China, man. I mean, China is probably going to be an empire relatively soon as well. But that China historically has always had internalized conflict that they've had to deal with. And that has always made them kind of weak internationally. And that's why the Japanese they just go run them over back in World War II.
Plus, China is extremely ethnocentric. You have to understand that even back when they controlled the Silk Road, they never invaded Europe. They're not that kind of people. They're one culture, and they really want to stay in their own bounds, man. I mean, yeah, they're going to take over resources like the Spratly Islands because they have to have it. Can you imagine 1.3 billion people rioting?
Yeah, exactly. They got to subjugate their people somehow, and they're going to have to exercise military force to take over resources sooner or later. But yeah, man,
we get rid of this government because I mean we don't need government, we really don't, and so like that, And it's one thing about DB, what he said about, you know, scaring Jack a little bit on reality. If the bottom line, who cares who in the hell's going to be president if our environment goes to hell? Because if our environment goes to hell because we're not taking care of Mama Earth, like I like to say, you know, Mama Pacha, then who cares who's president, you know?
Well, Manny, I agree with you that the most important issue on the planet right now is the planet. So I agree with you there.
The planet is a big issue on this planet for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds simplistic, but the fact of the matter is we're literally destroying the planet, and future generations are going to look back at us. Our children and our grandchildren are going to look at us and say, what the hell are you guys thinking, huh?
So
what are you going to say?
Yeah, that's a great point, man, and there's got to be a lot more done to address the environment. We have a recent story out from the EPA. They leaked a bunch of toxic chemicals into this river out in Colorado.
Let's blame the EPA when the corporations have been dumping toxins.
I'm not blaming the EPA here, but like, I'm just saying the EPA is you know in charge of this shithole, and
there's a serious problem here. But
no, I'm not saying that. Yeah. What I'm saying here is that we have this massive leak of toxic chemicals. Whether the EPA is to blame or not, it doesn't really matter. But what matters is that we got this huge leak, and now it's running downstream. They've declared a state of emergency, I think, in New Mexico, because now it's going to contaminate a bunch of drinking water.
How many leaks have there been from corporations? Like, vastly more. The EPA is like one of like 100 leaks that most of are all done by corporations. Big deal. The EPA messed up once. Look, EPA's bad. They're not a well-run organization, but like
they're a corporation.
They're a corporation, but the environmental damage is being done in a total movement by the capitalist, crony capitalist system. Like you cannot blame, you know, I mean, it's just, I think it's really like just intellectually dishonest to like couch any kind of discussion of climate change and global warming on the government when it's a confluence of the government and corporations that's doing it, and the corporations are now owned, in my opinion.
Okay, so we all agree that the environment is in danger and that something needs to be done to provide a solution. This example of the EPA is just more evidence that maybe we shouldn't be trusting government and bureaucrats to do this. Nobody's denying it's an issue. No one's denying that corporations are evil. We're just pointing out the fact that the EPA repeatedly does shady things. And I think that to say that it's not reasonable or fair to question an institution that's helping perpetuate bad things, even if they're not the worst perpetuator of those bad things, I think that that's intellectually dishonest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think you're pretty on point there, because the problem with the EPA, just like the FDA, the USDA, all these regulatory agencies, they're subject to regulatory capture. I mean, they're financed by the same corporation they're supposed to be policing, and that's a pretty common theme that you see in regulatory agencies, and that's why they do such a shitty job. That's why the environment is so effed up. I mean, the EPA is supposed to be protecting the environment. That's the Environmental Protection Agency, yet they do hardly anything to actually regulate these major corporations that are polluting the shit out of the planet. Besides,
the government agencies are the ones to be blamed as opposed to the industry?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying both.
Okay,
are
well, that's what you just said.
What if the EPA,
a decentralized group of federal agencies supporting banks and corporations?
I disagree.
The government is not an actual corporation. That's a ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
the federal government of the United States.
The government is a corporation.
Saying that they are a corporation. They have their own city, Washington, District of Columbia, and they're outside of the Constitution, my friend. They are a corporation as of 1871.
Well, I like some of that thought, but I mean, you're factually incorrect.
Research it.
Jake, I'm a little perplexed by your position, because you've written extensively about how poisonous food has become, and you've talked about corporations that are lying to people. So are you saying that we can't discuss how the FDA has contributed to that because they aren't the corporation? Because the FDA is pretty much very much responsible for approving these chemicals and saying that they're safe in food, but they didn't necessarily produce them, so should we just not have that discussion? I'm confused.
I wish I can't hear Carrie. I wish I could hear it.
Well, I think, but you know, the problem is that it's like, you know, these regulatory agencies approve these chemicals, like, let's just say glyphosate, you know, the Roundup chemical and all that. You know, these are the, you know, this stuff is approved by these agencies because the agencies are in the pocket of corporate. Look outside and, you know, see what's going on and say, okay, yeah, no, they're not doing their job. They're not doing what they should be doing.
They're not doing their job, but that's not the same thing as being complicit in a willful disinformation of climate change data. And that's what corporations are involved with. For example, I mean, it's the same thing with the health agency and tobacco from previous generations. The tobacco company was willfully using disinformation to convince the government and to convince everyone that what they were doing was safe when it was not. And it was government negligence, because people that are hired for the government, they're not the brightest of the bunch, unfortunately. But it's government negligence, not so much willful sinister attacking, and that's the difference. Is the government is just inept. Corporations are sinister.
Well, okay, Jake, I agree that corporations can be sinister, but at the end of the... Can you hear me before I go on a whole thing? Can Jake hear me?
No, I still can't hear you very well, frankly.
You have to just point directly into it.
Okay, give me one second.
We're on radio.
Instead of any kind of meaningful conversation, and back to Rand Paul, he actually dropped a line in the debate about how the NSA shouldn't be warrantless wiretapping every single person in the country. And on that point, I agreed with him. Chris Christie disagreed and said, no, let's just spy on everybody. Patriot Act, 9/11, freedom, that's what it's all about. You know, that's Chris Christie's talking point. But the Republican debates now, if you look in all the headlines, it's now descended into a feud between a reality TV star, which is Donald Trump, and a reality news TV star, which is Megyn Kelly. So, Kerry, I wanted to get your opinion on the state of the Republican debates and, you know, the fact that there's no anything constructive at all coming out of it. What do you think?
Well, to be honest, I didn't watch the debates, and I think I'm better off for it. But I did see a couple clips. And one of the things that really struck me was you mentioned that Chris Christie was saying that the collective false American identity need to be wiretapping people without any due process. And what I noticed most was his appeal to emotion, because he tried to draw a connection between warrantless wiretapping and hugging the victims of 9/11 families. And I see this exact same thread between Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump. It's an emotional tie. Is the darling of Fox News. Like, he's going after someone that people on Fox News and the average audience member of Fox News loves. And he's getting away with it. So what does that show about how effectively he's been able to conjure people's irrational emotions, which to me is even more hilarious, because at least in my experience, according to the stereotype, conservatives pride themselves on being rational and logical. And, you know, that's why they're skeptical.
That's a really good point, Kerry, seriously.
Thank you.
I want to bring this back to the state of the general voting population here, because first we got these Republicans, and right off the bat, Donald Trump came out and made some extremely racist remarks against Mexicans. And yeah, some people say, oh, that's not racist. Well, I consider it racist. And he, you know, came out and said, oh, most of the Mexicans coming into this country are rapists, criminals, drug dealers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which that is just is not the case at all. In fact, studies have shown immigrants coming into the U.S. are less inclined to commit crime than people born here in the U.S. So, I mean, that total bogus shit. But that got him to rise up in the polls, right? And that, you know, 25% of the Republican voting base bought into that lie. And then, you know, in the debate and following the debate, he said this misogynistic shit against Megyn Kelly. And I'm not defending Megyn Kelly, because she's just a tool of Fox News. That's fine. Megyn Kelly's a tool of Fox News. But the point I'm trying to get to at here is that Trump is saying racist, misogynistic shit, and his numbers are holding in the polls. He's still number one in the polls. So that just goes to show you where a lot of the voting base is in the Republican Party. Now, on the flip side of things, Jake, you even fell slight victim to this earlier today when you shared that article basically condemning the Black Lives Matter activists that interrupted Bernie Sanders' speech. A lot of the people that were there at the Bernie Sanders thing that are, you know, well-to-be progressives, and then a bunch of people online – I mean, this stuff was trending on Facebook for like 2 days. A bunch of people online are like saying, oh, they went too far and they did this and they – well, it kind of just goes to show where the you know, progressive right is standing on the progressive left, sorry, is standing on the issues of race and civil rights and that kind of thing. You know, it's fine to support civil rights if you're progressive, but oh, if the Black Lives Matter movement interrupt your candidate, well, then they're the problem.
No.
People, you know what I mean? And a lot of people bought into it.
I disagree with your assessment that I fell victim to anything. I shared a link that was a journalistic report that one of the Black Lives Matter ladies and made Black Lives Matter a bigger issue, which it should be.
Exactly, I agree.
Do you think
with you, man,
this might have made a third party finally a legitimate idea?
Yeah, I think it was a powerful move. I mean, it was painful, but and that's why I mentioned earlier the power of Bernie Sanders backing off and saying hello and look. I've been arguing with people all day about this, and I'm not even. Like, I agree with, I mean, I think it's great what they did. But the fact of the matter is, people's backgrounds are important. If a certain supporter comes forward and has a history of spousal abuse, that history would be relevant, right? So a person's support of Sarah Palin, I think, also is relevant. If you're a Christian radical, I think that is relevant, especially if you're on the fringe of a movement. Now, I don't know how entrenched in the Black Lives Matter movement they are. However, they're more qualified than me to say what they think about forward is that whatever they say is more important than what I would think, and more importantly, more important than what Bernie Sanders would say. And he let them have their moment.
Yeah, I mean, I read the article that you posted, and it definitely seemed as a hit piece to discredit this woman, you know, just because she's a former Palin supporter. This article kind of alluded to the fact that she has no credibility. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people on the left latched onto that narrative and perpetuated it, made it trend on social media, dude. And that's something I observed. And it tells me about a lot about where the progressive voting, you know, base is standing as well, because they're in many ways no better than the people that are supporting Trump, because they didn't listen to the woman's message. I listened to the video. I listened to what she said. And 95% of what she said was good shit. Like it was, yeah, a message that was, I'm happy got out there. She brought up indigenous rights. She brought up racism. She brought up institutionalized racism, mass incarceration, you know, the theft of land from Native American. I mean, she brought up a bunch of stuff. But the people and the Bernie Sanders supporters, rather than actually hearing out that message and hearing what they said, they just condemned it because Bernie's on.
Some of them turn out to be right. We all share articles. We don't know whether they're right or not. A factual statement, that a factual truth of what she was, is not irrelevant. Now, I ended up backtracking on it and defending it. But yes, what she said is important, but is also not what Bernie Sanders is saying important. Is every single rally, I mean, are we going to interrupt every single rally with Black Lives Matter?
No, of course not, man. I'm not saying that, and I'm not condemning you for sharing that. All I'm trying to point out here, man, is this nationalistic kind of tendency that's going to run throughout the masses. I don't give a shit what affiliation they are, whether they're progressive, libertarian.
How is it nationalistic though? I don't get the nationalism.
Because like the observation I was able to come out of with the reaction from the Bernie Sanders supporters to the Black Lives Matter movement is it is a message of condemnation that came from the Bernie Sanders supporters, and then they changed their tune when Bernie Sanders put out a PR out there to try to damage control the situation and all that stuff. But here's the thing, man, is that
it's to make society better. There's a limited amount of us, and we don't have time or enough of us to be fighting with each other. We have to make alliances of our groups of people and not let petty shit make us fight. So, you know, we have limited strength in numbers. We have to get together with as many of us as possible and be as hardcore, strategic, easily getting along. We have to do something. It's time to bring groups together, quit fighting over petty bullshit, and prioritize our efforts right, and align our income, which should
be
Federal Reserve notes.
I agree with you, man. We're not taking down the state.
Hey, we're coming down to the end here.
The state's not going anywhere, so deal with it.
Let's finish this show up here because we're coming down to the end. I find it pretty revealing that overnight, one interruption of a Bernie Sanders thing kind of fractured the entire progressive movement. it's kind of telling, dude. It's telling that, like, you know, people are so – they're so still caught up in this team stuff, you know, that –